Shut up and sit down.
It is our final fantasy sports podcast for the football season with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire, best fantasy analyst in the business, best fantasy site in the business. Jeff has been kind enough to be with us each and every week to talk fantasy sports with you, particularly fantasy football throughout the course of the football season. Got the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, Eagles and Chiefs. We'll talk about that game in just a moment, and we'll start getting ready for baseball. Jeff will come back on with us in March as we get set for baseball drafts. But first and foremost, Jeff, we haven't talked since the AFC and NFC championship games. You're a Bengal fan. How are you getting over the AFC championship game loss to the Chiefs?
2 weeks help. It was pretty raw last week, but a little bit over it now. I mean, and the thing is, well, not over it, but, you know, it's one of those things that'll stick, especially the way the game ended. I mean, it's like not like that. I mean, it wasn't the wrong call or anything like that. We just hate to see the game end like that. Now the Bengals have a lot of work to do. They have to re-sign. They have to sign Burrow before it gets close to free agency. This is the year you usually do it, after year three. They have to do the same with T. Higgins. There's some speculation they might not, but, man, I really hope they do. They've got a number of guys that are going to be free agents this year. You know, it's starting to get to be that time. They've got pretty much one more year where players are relatively cheap before they're going to have to start having to make some harder decisions. Even if they do get Burrow on a long-term extension, you know, the real cap hit won't hit until year five. So it got to get while the getting's good.
You don't see any negative effects for Burrow throughout the course of the next wave of his contract, do you? Like, if Higgins and, you know, Tyler Boyd, I imagine there will be some roster erosion around him, but I feel like he has proven that you can put guys around him and he'll make them better. They don't always have to be Chase and Higgins and Mixon and Boyd. Like, I think he can elevate other players.
I think that's true, although I think Chase and Higgins are special. I think they really truly are exceptional. It's just a different offense when they have both of those guys, and it really took off. Mixon's almost as good as gone. I think he's going to be a salary cap casualty. His performance declined this year, and he's at that age where, you know, running backs often decline. Unfortunately, it's one of those unfortunate facts of life in the NFL that running backs have a pretty short shelf life. And he came into the league a little younger, so he's not as old as people think, but the mileage is there, and, you know, and there might be baggage too after this arrest, and then or at least warrant for arrest, and the child charges being dismissed, but with leave to add him again at some point in time. So that's hovering as well. They got all their tight ends are free agents this year. They're gonna have to figure out that position. Hayden Hurst was really a nice find. I'd love to see him back. But they've also been very aggressive in the draft at times, taking tight ends. There's a tight end from Notre Dame, Michael Meyer. I don't think he falls all the way to the Bengals at 29, I think, that they're at. But at the same time, they have a history of drafting Notre Dame tight ends the first round, if you recall Tyler Eifert.
So is the running back for the future for the Bengals on this roster or no? Is he a draft choice? Is he a free agent?
P. Ryan is a free agent also, but I think they might try to bring him back. He's obviously going to cost a little less, but we'll see. I think they could pick up a back in the draft, or there's going to be a number of them in free agency, so there's a lot of different routes they can take here.
What about Mixon? Where does he go for fantasy players who want to keep an eye on him?
He may have to be in a timeshare of some sort. I don't think he'll continue to be a bell cow back. That'd be my guess. Even if he returns to the Bengals, I think he's not going to see the massive workload he's seen in previous years.
How do you forecast some Steelers skill position players for next year? I mean, Najee came on late at the end of this season. Warren was a timeshare guy who I still think is pretty far down most depth charts. What about Deontay Johnson? What about Pickett? And what about Pickens for next year?
Well, you know,
and Freiburg for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, the curious thing for me is they retained the offensive coordinator. You know, in the name of continuity, after a kind of a bad season offensively. I guess you could argue that Pickett showed a lot of signs of development late. You know, he had those big drives to lead to wins, but he never put up any big numbers either, though. I never got the sense that, okay, he's on the cusp of taking the next step and that they'll take off the governor's switch and let him fly. I don't get that sense. I don't think that's the way they want to play games. So from a fantasy perspective, we don't love that because obviously we want to see volume. We want to see so a little bit more wide open offense, more downfield throws. I don't think you saw a ton of that with Pickett. Maybe it's just year two. They'll allow him to do that a little bit more, let him go through his progressions a little bit more. Deontay Johnson might be a bargain in leagues because everyone's going to keep pointing out the zero touchdowns, but the volume is there. It's still there. So I think it will be again. So even though he's everybody's fantasy bust, I think he's a guy that's a potential bargain next year. We'll see, you know, what washes out, what moves they make. But, and as far as Najee goes, I mean, I think you can chalk up the early season struggles a lot to the foot. An injury that happened at the start of training camp, they hid it from everybody. You wrote about that. And then he aggravated it early in the season, or at least he had another foot injury, if it's not an aggravation. Point being is I thought he was compromised the first half of the season. You saw him really run well the second half of the year.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, our last fantasy football podcast of the year. We'll get to fantasy baseball. Maybe talk some baseball before we're done today. How, from a fantasy perspective, do you watch the Super Bowl, Jeff?
So I have a couple, irons in the fire. I still have a couple of those postseason drafts that I've done. I've still got a chance to win. So I'm going to be watching that closely. Otherwise, I don't like – so, for instance, you can play a lot of different permutations on daily fantasy sports sites like DraftKings and FanDuel, but I don't like one-game contests that much. Just not my bag. I understand other people really like it and people got to have something going on. I'll do like some, if I were in Vegas, I would do prop bets. Unfortunately, I'm in California where we can't do online betting. Although you can do things like Stat Hero and things like that if I really wanted to. But I'll do square pools, things like that. I've got enough irons in the fire in my life that I don't have to have action. So it's interesting that, and I play in so many leagues as it is. I guess maybe that's why I don't feel like, oh, I got to get more on the Super Bowl, especially because I don't have an emotional attachment to this game.
Well, whether it's from a daily fantasy perspective or whether it is from folks who want to put some money down on individual player props, who do you like? Who pops to you?
So I like the Travis Kelce target prop because any pathway to the Chiefs winning involves Kelce getting a ton of targets, right? So I would seek out, find your best number. And that's true always. Find your best number, especially with player props. They're inefficient. I had Mike Palm from the Circa Sports Casino on our show on SiriusXM this week, and he acknowledged that whereas the line is pretty steady at most places, every once in a while you'll get a half point here or there that's different. The total for the teams is pretty steady. The individual player props are all over the map, whether the number that you have to hit as well as the odds that you can get on it. So shop around. I think that's a huge, huge hint for people. Usually most states have like three or four different options. You don't have just one vendor. Look around, find your best odds. Can't emphasize that enough.
I found a number that I loved on Kenneth Gainwell, the running back, to go over 18.5 yards rushing, which he's done easily the last three games. His attempts have gone up over the last three games, going back to the regular season, two in the playoffs. That's one that I thought was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And, it's interesting to see that he and not Boston Scott is the pivot away from Miles Sanders. Although Scott will steal, Scott, as we saw in the NFC Championship game, Scott will still steal a goal line carry every once in a while.
That's fine. He can have goal line. He can have touchdown. I'm not going to bet touchdown. I want yards on Gainwell. And because I do think you're going to see the ball intentionally handed off to various running backs for the Eagles a bunch in this game, because I do think they'll be winning and playing with the lead for a lot of this game.
Agreed.
I don't see the need for Hurts to get a lot of carries. Like maybe he gets a scramble or two, I suppose, but I don't think you'll see a lot of design runs for him. I don't think they want to run the risk of knocking him out on purpose when they could give the ball to other people. So I'm going under on yards on the ground for Jalen Hurts. There's two options that I like. If you want to go under 39.5, it pays out at plus 163. If you want to go under 49.5, it's minus 112. But, you know, obviously big odds jump because of the extra 10 yards. Either one of those, depending on how risky you feel, I think you're in good shape. I am playing them both.
Very good. I like it. I agree with you that the Eagles will be playing with the lead, is my opinion. I think there's two big factors in this game. One is, excuse me, I got a little bit of a cough right now. One main factor is whether that Eagles front four can continue to wreak havoc and get to Mahomes without the Eagles running, bringing an extra rusher. If they can put enough pressure on Mahomes with the front four and still cover with seven, I think that bodes very well for them. That the Bengals were able to get to Mahomes a little bit with that bad ankle, especially, that's important. And I think the Eagles are a much better pass rush team than the Bengals. So I think that's something to watch for there. The other thing is if the Eagles get their run game going, if they get that run game going, the Chiefs, I think, are in big trouble.
I went with the over on sacks too, Jeff. I went with over 2.5 team sacks for the Eagles. That got me money last week when I bet it, 2 weeks ago rather, for the NFC Championship game. And I took a flyer on Reddick being a defensive MVP, which comes back at, I can't remember what it, like plus, might have been plus 3,000. So you can hit it big with Reddick. Although, I'll say this, there's only like six offensive guys in front of him overall.
Yeah, I can believe it. It's so, any MVP vote is so heavily weighted in favor of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're both plus 130 last I saw. And actually what I did is I couched myself. I have a lot of Eagle-heavy bets because I think they're going to win the game. So one way I tried to hedge and maybe make a little money back if I'm wrong on that is just bet Mahomes to be the MVP.
Yeah, okay. I like that. You know, it's funny, the Super Bowl MVP, you will see wide receivers win the award. Regular season, you never do. It's interesting. Like, you know, Cooper Kupp wasn't the season-long MVP last year somehow, but he was the Super Bowl MVP. So it can happen, but it's still such a quarterback-heavy award. It's really crazy.
Jeff Erickson with us. How about some other off-season stuff, Jeff? What about Carr and New Orleans and Sean Payton going to Denver? What's that do for Denver players? What's that do for New Orleans players when it comes to fantasy?
There is going to be a lot of quarterback turnover. And you mentioned Carr right off the top. You know, him going to New Orleans was a little bit of a surprise. They had Dalton and Winston, you know, still, I think Winston might still be under contract. I need to double check that. But that wasn't one of the initially estimated destinations. And there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. That would take a key piece off the chessboard, along with Brady retiring. All of a sudden now that makes that demand for Rodgers a little higher, makes the demand for Jimmy G a little bit higher. It really kind of shifts things around. Someone's going to get stuck holding the bag. Could be the Colts, could be the Panthers. You know, the Rams have to decide what they're going to do. You know, if Stafford's going to be able to play for them, what that means to them. He, you know, they've said the right things, but it's a pretty significant injury. One that there's a pretty decent chance of relapse. So you kind of want to watch that one a little bit. And you know, do they roll with Baker Mayfield instead, or what do they do there? So there's a lot of teams. The Ravens, what they do with Lamar Jackson's a huge story. I you know, it's kind of funny. It's been a little bit of a calm the last week or so. You know, they had the initial flurry after they got knocked out of the playoffs, but now, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's another huge story looming.
Before we go, Jeff, tell us what you got going on at RotoWire right now and give us some insight on baseball. Are you drafting already for baseball?
I've done a couple of drafts already, going to the industry conference next week in Vegas where I'll be doing a live draft. They're going to be doing all sorts of, you know, we got all sorts of great content up on the site. Projections are up, constantly updating them. Obviously, pitchers and catchers report soon. We'll get a lot of flurry of injury updates at that point in time. A lot of good strategy articles. I got an article up there talking about the rule changes in baseball and the fantasy impact of those. All sorts of tools to help you win your league. You can go check it out right now, rotowire.com/free. Get your free trial, peek behind the paywall.
Great, Jeff. Thanks. Really appreciate it all year when it comes to football. We'll check in again next month to get people ready for their baseball drafts.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.